This week's parshios are parshios Achrimos and Kedoshim. Achrimos dealing with the service of the Kohen Gadol entering into the Kodesh Kedoshim on Yom Kippurim, as well as the Kriya that we read on Yom Kippur, and that of the Arayos, the forbidden marriages. Parsha Kedoshim ends with the Arayos as well, but details, and this is a very famous chapter, many laws, and particularly many interpersonal laws. And it seems to be like a random list of different halachas. I'd like to take a look, Mirtz Hashem, at one of these laws that seems to be, you know, very simple and straightforward. But as we'll, Mirtz Hashem, see today, that Chazal, the Medrash, learn a tremendous amount of insight from these laws. I'd like to take a look at quite a number of different ways that we can understand this halacha, and then try to be able to see what is the briach tachton, the thread that will connect all of these levels together. Chumash tells us in source 1, when you shall come to the land and you shall plant any fruit tree, you shall treat its fruit as forbidden. This is the law of Orla. For 3 years they shall be forbidden to you. They shall not be eaten. In the fourth year, all of its fruit shall be sanctified to Lord Hashem. And in the fifth year, you may eat its fruit, so that will increase its crop for you. I am Hashem, your God. And as the art scroll points out, based quoting Rashi in Source 2, the fourth year is sanctified. The word teaches that Raviv, fourth year fruit, is treated like that the Kodesh is like the second tithe, it's like Maaser Sheni. It must be safeguarded against contamination, eating Yushalayim. If the owner lives outside the holy city, he may redeem the fruit for money, which he must bring to Yushalayim and use to buy food, which he and his guests will eat there. And then there's a promise that the fifth year will have an increase in profit. As the Mefarshim point out, what is the reason why we're not allowed to eat fruit the first 3 years? So, and it's interesting, if we look in source number 5 for a moment, this law applies in Eretz Yisrael, Midaraisa. It applies in Chutz Laaretz, outside of Israel, as Halacha L'Moshe Mitzinai, and it's still applicable. There are obviously differences, whether it's Midaraisa or Halacha L'Moshe Mitzinai. Those differences we are not going to deal with. But the question still stands, what is the reason why we're not allowed to eat the fruit for the first 3 years? So the Rav Munk in the Kul of Torah in Source 2 quotes the Rambam, who links this prohibition classically to certain pagan practices. The idolaters of old claimed that whenever one planted a fruit tree, he had to use a magic formula to speed the yield of fruit. I've already explained how much the law abhors all these magical practices. That's why it prohibits whatever the fruit tree produces for the 3 years from the day they were planted. The Ramban, a little bit differently, says the whole idea is to give the best to Hashem, is to give the reishit. The first 3 years, you don't have the best crop. So the first 3 years, we don't use the crop, we burn it, we get rid of it. The fourth year, like Bikurim, is Kodesh Lashem, we bring it to Shalayim. So that's that approach. Drash Moshe or Moshe Feinstein note that it's hard to understand why we would destroy fruit trees. And in order to, not the fruit trees, the fruit of the trees, and in order to show that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves fruit, it indeed, the Torah goes out of its way that there will be multiple amounts of fruit on the fifth year, and he basically says it's a gzera sakata. We don't understand why. Kadosh Baruch Hu commanded, and this is what we do. An interesting remez, an interesting hint at the dynamics of year 3, 4, and 5. First 3 years, not to eat them. Year 4, to bring them into Yushalayim Kodesh. They're called holy, and they have to be either eaten in Yushalayim or redeemed, and with that money, eat the food in Yushalayim. And the fifth year, you're allowed to eat whatever you want. So Klayakar notes a very interesting remez in Source 4, where he says we know that everything was really created on the first day, but then it came out into the world on the different days. So the fruit trees came out into existence on day number 3. But they weren't, sustained by the sun, etc., to give them light to the fourth day. And they were only eaten, really, on the fifth day when animals were created. So to mark the first 3 days, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, when they existed but were not able to be seen, that's the Orla. That's the first 3 years we don't touch them. The fourth year, which corresponds to the fourth day, is to be able to praise Hashem, the light, the energy that has come on these fruit trees. Only in the fifth, just like the animals were created that consume them, so too we eat it on the fifth year as well, enjoying its fruits. So he knows that this is a remez, it's a hint to Maaseh Bereishit, to the original creation story. Having noted all of the above, on the most simplest level, it's a very clear-cut halacha. You come into Eretz Yisrael, according to the Rechaim HaKadosh, the asterisks in 5, this is that there are 3 mitzvos here. Coming into the land is mitzvah 1, to plant all types of fruit trees in order to enhance the land is mitzvah number 2, and to keep the laws of Orla is mitzvah number 3. So, be that as it may, you come to the land, you plant fruit trees, and the first 3 years, you don't eat them. Orla, this applies as well. In Chutz Laaretz, you plant a fruit tree, you're not to enjoy its produce for the first 3 years, a lemon tree, an orange tree. The fourth year is Kodesh Hilulim LaHashem, and the fifth year is one you can enjoy its crops. I'd like to try to take a look at this, which seems to be so simple and so straightforward. We're talking about trees, we're talking about fruit trees, we're talking about sanctification, and to be able to see how our rabbis understand from this many, many different levels. And the study in itself is beautiful in seeing how rich any particular psukim can be. But I think what's going to be even more special in today's class of Mirat Hashem is to see the linkage between all the ideas. So instead of talking about it, let's do it. Approach level number 1. What do we learn from these psukim? What do Chazal derive from these psukim? So there's a beautiful piece in Rav Hirsch on Kodesh Hilulim. He says the fruit is not Kodesh LaShem absolutely. Rather, its status or 6 is like that of Maaser Sheni, the second tie. It's Mamon LeGavoa, only in that its enjoyment must lead to Hilulim to Hashem. That is to say, the fruit must reflect back a radiance of light, and he who partakes of it must contemplate God. In his enjoyment of the fruit, he is to give thanks to God, the giver of the Torah. For by God's providence, the tree yields its fruit, and his will should be done also in the enjoyment of fruit. And that's the whole idea of coming up to Shalayim, to make sure that man realizes that his efforts are not mere mechanical result of the laws of nature, but rather they depend on God's providence and blessing. And the sanctuary of the Torah sanctifies not only one's actions in life, but also one's enjoyment of life. We see then that the holiness of Netzach Revi'i does not hinge on the fruit itself. Rather, it's the holiness for the purpose of Hilulim. The whole essence of this mitzvah is Kodesh Hilulim. It's to have a commitment to God. It's to recognize that, yes, I've worked hard for this fruit, but it's God who's the one who has bestowed this fruit upon me. And therefore, this character of Kedushat Hilulim is reflected especially in that it's permitted, and if one cannot bring the fruit to Yerushalayim, it is obligatory to redeem the fruit and eat its value in Yerushalayim. The whole essence of the Hilul is Hilul. The Mechalel affirms that the fruit comes from God, who gives it to man so he may use it in his service. So, the way we understand these psukim, is to be able to understand a little bit of the Tamei mitzvah, a little bit of the reasoning of the mitzvah. What is the purpose of the fourth year? It's to be able to appreciate that all of your hard work, which you seem to have, you know, just thrown out the last 3 years, recognize that this was the command of God, but God wants you to realize, and God wants you to realize, that all of your hard work all comes from Him. And that the first and foremost thing you need to do before you have years and years of appreciation of the fruit of these trees is to be able to pay homage and recognition that all of these fruit have come from God. And that's a declaration that we make by going up to Shalayim and being able to eat it there. The Kedusha B'Tahara, with sanctity, with purity, and to recognize the source of all of our bounty and goodness. And then we're able to appreciate the fruit on the fifth year. Then we're able to eat the fruit of the fifth year anywhere we want. So in Likutei Sichos, on Lubavitcher Rebbe, he brings down an idea that some consider the fifth year fruit even on a higher level than on the fourth year fruit. And we have to ask ourselves in Source 8, in what way is it higher? Ain't Bahem Kedusha, Umutar Lachlam Bechol Makom Bafilu Betuma. In what way is it higher? You can eat it in purity, you can eat it in any place. It doesn't have to be specifically in Yushalayim. What is so special about the fifth year? So he brings a maisa of the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh. The Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh used to go from city to city wandering around, and he would ask man, woman, child, how are they? How's their parnasa? How's their health? How's life? And he was vayasvarat son biyoter lishmoa. He was very interested in hearing the response of people. Baruch Hashem, Bechaste Hashem, Yishtabach Shmo La'ad, right? Praise God forever, which is something more the Sfaradim say in Eretz Yisrael today. Whatever the response was, and this is something that made the Baal Shem Tov very happy to hear. Once the Baal Shem Tov went to a zaken, to an old man who had secluded himself for years in learning Torah. And he entered into his private study, and he asked him how he was, how his life is. And the old man ignored him. And he asked him again. And he could feel like this old man was just like, get out of here, like you're disturbing my learning. To which the Baal Shem Tov in Source 9, who understood what this man was thinking, he said to him, B'nei Yisrael yoshvim smuchim ala parnasa shashem yitbarach noten lehem. Klai Yisrael are dependent on the parnasa, on the sustenance God gives them. What sustains God, Kivyachol? We're sustained by God. But Kivyachol, what sustains God? So David HaMelech says in Tehillim, Vata Kadosh, Al Eze Parnasa Yoshev Hincha, you who are holy, what do you sit on? What do you get sustained from? Yoshev Tehilos Yisrael. Hashem is Yoshev. Hashem is sustained Kivyachol from the Tehillos, from the praises of the Jews down here, when they praise Hashem for their parnasa, when they praise Hashem for their health. In that chus, the divrei tilah elu yudim mishapchim emet Hashem yitbarach, then Hashem causes that Banai Chaim Mizonai comes down into our world. The idea of Yoshev being sheyum shach lamata, when a person sits, they lower themselves down. So in what way does Hashem bring himself down into this world? What draws him down into this world? It is the Yoshev Tehillos Yisrael. It's the praise of Klal Yisrael. Ah, can't you do that with the Limud Torah alone? Why is he bothering this guy who's sitting for over 50 years and asking about his health, asking about his parnasa? Why doesn't he just let him learn? And the answer is the following in the arrow in 9. That tachlis kavanah sabriya, that whole point that Hashem created the world is that he should reside down here in this world. Limud Torah, to a very great extent, is an otherworldly experience. And therefore, the Baal Shem Tov was specifically asking him about his srachim gashmiim, his physical needs, in order to be able to draw Kadosh Baruch Hu down into this world. And now we understand, as special in Source 11 as the fruits of the fourth year are, the fifth year, Kashir Yehudi Yodea, and the asterisk at 11, Shafilo Peirot Sheinam Kodesh, even that which isn't holy, to know that the fruit of the fourth year is holy, that's a given. But the chiddush is that the fifth year, when you're eating it in your backyard, or even in your living room, you're eating it bituma, that you realize that they are also Birkas Hashem, that you realize that they are also coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you praise Hashem for this. Harei Hilul Zel Hashem Hu Tilos Yisrael. That's the greatest praise of Tilos Yisrael. So you're right, as we saw from Rav Hirsch, the fourth year we clearly have to understand that God is the one who's given us all this bounty, and we praise Hashem. But to a certain degree, the fifth year is even higher. that in our normal day and day out world, that we're able to find that Hashem is Yoshev B'dira Tachtonim, that He is connected down to this world to a certain degree that is even a higher level. And this, my friends, the idea of being able to praise Hashem and recognizing in the day in, day out, not in Yerushalayim, not in a context of Kedusha and Tahara, of purity and holiness, to be able to find Hashem, that's where greatness is. This is the first idea that Rav Hirsch brings from the Gemara in Brachos 35a, Lamed Hamad Aleph. Just as Chilul constitutes Hilul indeed, so do Birkas HaNehanim, the blessings said in appreciating things, the blessing before spelling and eating, constitute Hilul in words. According to Rabbi Akiva, it was based on our verse that the sages instituted the Birkas HaNehanim, the blessings of enjoyment. For they too resemble the Hilul that is mentioned here. One who recites a bracha brings food into the presence of God before he partakes of it. In doing so, he submits to God the Bore, for one must first bring the fruit up to Hashem, and then by saying Baruch, he resolves not to leave God's presence when eating, but rather to enjoy the food in the presence of God, Baruch Atah. And even when he is eating, he will serve God and further his holy purposes. And that is what is expressed by the term Baruch. Indeed, Rabbi Abahu calls the recitation of a bracha Pidgino Shel Olam Umloo. The idea of a bracha, which according to Rabbi Akiva is derived from our psukim, the idea of at least a bracha rishona, is to be able to appreciate the world that God has given us, and to be able to realize that we are wherever we are in God's hands. And according to this, Rav Hirsch goes on to say, this is why the laws of Orla Netai Revai are found where they are. And we have the idea of Orla not eating the first 3 years, because it is about recognizing that God has the ownership rights. This restraint trains him in self-control, which is the essential condition for the morality of enjoyment. You have to realize that our enjoyment, our sensual enjoyment, is always about recognizing Hashem in the picture. So the first lesson that we learn from our pasuk is the Gemara in Brachos, that this is about sending the message of being able to appreciate that everything we have comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that we have to say a bracha before we enjoy from this world. As the essence of a bracha, the Sefer and Hilchos Brachos from Badner points out in his Hakdaman 13, it's a big task that's been handed to us, the obligation to pause and focus on reality at least 100 times a day. The reality that Hashem was, is, and always will be, that He gave us our bodies and our souls, our Torah and our mitzvot, that is He who continuously wills us and every atom of matter into existence, and it is He who is constantly showering us with pleasures. This is our obligation to recognize this at all times. There's a brand new, very tiny sefer, the Lekach V'Alibov on Birkas HaMazon. Beautiful, beautiful essays on benching, where he notes here that the whole basis of Yiddishkeit based on Sifkos HaTzadik, source 14, is Anochi Hashem Elokecha. We have to remember that Hashem is the source of everything. And he said, it's not by accident that Torah Shebaal Peh, the oral tradition, begins with Masechet Brachos, saying blessings. Because that's the whole foundation and yesod of what Yiddishkeit is about, to connect everything back to its makor, to its source. And that's the idea of bracha milashon brecha, as the Sosemis points out in the asterisks in 14, saying Baruch, which is what we say blessing, is like a brecha, a pool. Hainu Shefa, it draws down bounty. Because when we say a bracha, we connect ourselves to Hashem. And in doing so, we are drawing down tremendous bounty in this world. And it ensures us that we will not forget where everything comes from. So my friends, that's idea number one. It's pretty simple. where do we find one remes, one hint, right? The bracha achron is ve'achalta v'savata v'arachta, pasuk in Dvarim. But where do we find to say a bracha rishona? So it's hinted at here of kodesh ilulim, that you are able to give this hallel, this praise to Hashem, before you eat. And that's a reminder that we're always connected to the source, and that everything comes from God, and He dictates us what we can enjoy, what we can't enjoy, and self-control, it's a prerequisite. Good. Idea number two, there will be four ideas that we're going to present, is the following medrash. Source 15, Yaakov Lekatov, Rav Bifus brings it down, Rav Yaakov Bifus. V'chi tavo ala aretz unitatem kol eitz macha. Says the medrash. Medrash Rabba Kafe. Hadahu dichtiv, this is what is written, eitz chayim hi l'machazikim ba, it is a tree of life to all who hold it, which is talking about Torah. Amar Rav Huna b'shem Rav Acha, the words of Torah shouldn't be in your eyes very flippant, like a person who has a daughter to marry off. He says, I don't care, let him marry off anyone who he wants to. If you recognize the beauty of Torah, so you're going to recognize that you want it to be married to the most appropriate person. So the Beis Yitzchak asked the obvious question, what is the connection between unetatem kol eitz machal, planting fruit trees, to eitz chayim hi l'machazikim ba, to connect it to Torah? Okay, so eitz chayim hi l'machazikim ba, it's a tree of life to hold on to it. It's talking about Torah. And tree is called Torah. And here we're planting a tree, and a tree is a tree. So he answers the following. He says, when the Chumash says here, what's bothering the Medrash is the following. The pasuk says, "V'chi tavo al ha'aretz," when you come to the land, "unetatem kol eitz machal," and you plant fruit trees. So, if you learn like the Or HaChaim HaKadosh said, it's a mitzvah to plant a fruit tree, then I don't have a question. But if you hold, is it a mitzvah to plant a fruit tree? It would make more sense to say, when you come into the land, "im tatitvu kol eitz machal," if you plant any tree, know that the first 3 years, etc. What's the idea of, it seems to be, unetatem kol eitz machal, you shall plant. So says the Medrash, this is idea number two we learn from our psukim. What type of tree is obligatory to plant? Not literally a tree, but rather a spiritual tree. And that is, it's the chiyuv to plant people who learn Torah. And therefore, what this pasuk is talking about is, when you come into Eretz Yisrael, and you're involved in the everyday mundane life, make sure that you are tonchei Torah umiyastei yeshivos, that you support those who learn Torah, that you should support those who are involved in the process of learning. Make sure that when you plant kol eitz machal, you are supporting those who are learning Torah. Rav Huna, by giving this example of, you know, it's like a person who's going to marry her daughter to anybody, is saying it's not just enough to support those who learn Torah, it's also an obligation to learn Torah yourself if you appreciate its beauty. And the Drash Dovi, Rav David Hofstadter, developing this very idea, points out that you have to be very careful in 18, that when you support Torah causes, you shouldn't do it begrudgingly. You shouldn't do it because you're forced to do it. It should be done with a tremendous amount of joy, and once you recognize the schus. But even greater than this, it should be that a person should not only be involved in hachzaka lomdei Torah, involved in supporting those who are learning Torah, but also themselves, bekvias itim l'Torah, they too should be able to be learning Torah as well, at every spare moment, to create times, set times during the day, to have a shir, to have a chavrusa, to learn. That the idea of Torah in Source 20 is not only b'chol ma'odecha, with all of your money and resources, but b'chol nafshecha, with your entire being. That's what this psukim are talking about. When you come to the Lamb and you plant your fruit trees, what type of fruit trees are we talking about? When you come to the land, make sure that there are yeshivas. Make sure that there are places of learning. Make sure you support those places of learning. and make sure that you also are part of those places of learning. So ask the Be'er Yosef and Rav Yosef Salant, early 1900s in Source 21, why dafka are we learning the idea of supporting Torah, Yisachar, Zvulun, relationship, dafka from our psukim of Orla, Neta, Ravai, like, you know, it seems like we're planting a tree, it's Chaimi, it seems to be like a little bit of a weaker link. So he answers no. And he answers based on the idea of the Sefer HaChinuch. He said, why, both by Meiser Sheni, as well as Meiser Behema, as well as Neta Ravai, what was the point of coming up to Yerushalayim? Why couldn't they just eat it with holiness where they lived? Because what Hashem wanted was not just that you should come praise me in my home. It's much deeper than that. What HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted these people to see was a life of Torah. When they came up to Yerushalayim, they would see the Sanhedrin. They would see those involved in learning. They would see the Kohanim Bavarotam. They would see Kedusha at its height. And that would have a tremendous impact on them. And as the Sfarim point out, at times it meant that people would leave their sons in Yerushalayim to learn, right? Take the money from the Meiser Sheni or the Net Teravai and use that as your expense account. And this was a way of Mamish consecrating some of their children to times of learning. Or that you had so much fruit or so much money that you had to redeem so that you would invite the Kohanim and Levim to be able to enjoy it with you. So the very moment that you are doing the mitzvah Neta Ravai, you are at the same time supporting those who are learning Torah, the Kohanim and the Levim. So it makes a lot of sense that in this mitzvah, wherein one is inspired to see the Derech HaTorah and be involved for themselves or their children in the Derech HaTorah, and as well as supporting very much in the mitzvah itself those who are learning Torah, it makes a tremendous amount of sense that it's dafka in this area, the bringing of the fourth year, that we learn the mitzvah of the importance of supporting and being involved in Limud Torah. So the first thing that we see from the psukim is the responsibility to praise Hashem, to thank Hashem, recognition everything comes from Hashem before we enjoy this world. The second thing Chazal learned from this pasuk is the importance of supporting places of learning Torah and involving oneself as well in learning of Torah. The third thing that we learn from our pasuk out of four, and we'll see that each one's very different from each other, and that's the beauty of learning. We know, and this is the Urachaim HaKadosh in Source 24, and synopsized in English, again, the Quill of Torah of Mulk in Source 23, second paragraph. He says, the analogy between man and tree mentioned above, which I brought at the beginning of 23, prompts our sages to apply to the child, the young plant, the same criteria for spiritual development as those which the Torah sets here. We know, the Chumash tells us, Parshas Shoftim ki Adam et Sasada, we are compared to the tree of the field. So in our psukim here that we're talking about when we're planting a new tree, in the first 3 years we aren't allowed to use it, in the fourth year it's sanctified, in the fifth year enjoy it, he's saying is that there's a real model here for chinuch, for education. The same criteria during the first 3 years of life, declares the Medrash Tanhuma, the mind of the child is still closed. In the fourth year, his father will have him begin reciting praises to Hashem. He will learn the alphabet and recite his first verses. From the fifth year, people will enjoy the fruits by having him learn the Torah and by increasing his program of studies. Basing themselves on the law of Orla, the Tanayim set the time for beginning the study Torah at 5 years of age. And you find this indeed, the Bar Tanura brings this down in Source 25 in the fifth chapter of Pirkei Avos, the 21st Mishnah, where he says, Shalosh Shanim Yelech Arlim Uvashanash Revi'it Yeakol Piro Kodesh Yilim Lashem, that the first 3 years we don't teach the child, the fourth year we teach him the Suras Osios, the letters, and then the fifth year you begin to teach him. It's interesting that there is a Minhag Yisrael, and I'll say at the outset, when you're talking about Minhagim, So you say it's a minhag that's been brought in my family, and this is what I do. To try to find sources for minhagim sometimes is very challenging, and I'm not sure it's always necessary. There's a beauty, and this was what was done. Allow it to be done. We know when we think of 3 years old, particularly with a boy, and we're talking about the Limud HaTorah here, we think of a custom that people have. It's a minhag Yushalayim, certainly. It's more of a Hasidic custom. And that is on the third birthday to give a child a chalaka, which is his first haircut, leaving his payos. It's as if you're mechanech him into the mitzvah lo takifu pad roshechem. And again, we finish his 3 years, and we now move on into the next stage in life. There's a whole sefer on everything you wanted to know and were afraid to ask about this haircut called Nitei Gavriel, in source 26. And he brings down here that, and I'm mentioning it because it's so timely with, we're right at us by Lag BaOmer, the Minhag Yisrael, that we bring the child to the tzion of Rabbi Rashbi, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, on Lag BaOmer, and we give him his first haircut there. So perhaps there is a remez to this, he says, in the Sefer Teretz Yeshua, in that the word v'hit galach, to shave, is found in Vayikra Yud Gimel Lamed Gimel. The gimel in the word v'hit galach is written bigger, to teach you that when a child has finished, right, reaches the third year, then you shave him, and since it's the 33rd pasuk, it's a hint to Lag BaOmer. Perhaps another hint to Lag BaOmer, the Sichur Yischazkut brings down in 28b, from the Sefer Degel Machane Ephraim, it's the pasuk Kodesh Hilulim LaHashem is a reference to the Hilula of Rashbi. It's that it's what we call Rashbi's day. It's the Hilula, the praise of Rashbi, and Kodesh Hilulim LaHashem is Rosh Tevot HaKol to remind us of the Kol Kol Yaakov, which is the Koach on this day that Anochi Ish Chalak, I am a smooth person, unlike Esav who was Ish Sa'ir, a man of hair. And hence we cut the hair. Be that as it may, he brings down in the Sefer, in the footnote, the idea of this halakha is based on many sources, but one of them is on our mitzvah of orla, of not touching anything for the first 3 years, and then consecrating it to Hashem. What does this have to do with cutting the hair? So perhaps you can say in 28a, that the Gemara says when a child begins to speak, you teach him Torah. Torah Tzivalon Moshe. And the time that a child really has this intellectual ability to speak is around the age of 3. It's not only speaking, it's having a understanding. And we know this is a time to be Makdisho L'Shamayim, to dedicate him, right? Kodesh Elim L'Hashem. And the Pasuk says, Reishi Gezoncha Titein Li, the first of the shearings you should give me of the sheep. Klai Yisrael are called Soncha, the holy sheep. So therefore, when a child begins to speak and enters into the Kedusha, we take his hair. It has a lot of symbolism here. Like the Reishit Agaz, the first of the shearing. And we give offer that almost up to Shemayim to, as a marking of the consecration that we're now just leaving Peos, that he should be recognized as a Jewish child. Take it or leave it as you may. What interests me, moving away just from boys to children in general, is that indeed this pasuk becomes a mindset for how we deal with children. That children are unetatem kol eitz machal. The imagery of chinuch is very much the imagery of planting. There's a wonderful new sefer called Make Yourself at Home by Sarah Hannah Radcliffe. And she notes the following that I'd like to go through some beautiful ideas. All parents are farmers. I bet you didn't know that. Yes, parents are farmers because they're busy planting seeds. In the fertile soil of the minds of their young children, parents plant all sorts of ideas and experiences which over time bloom into a garden of thoughts, dreams, attitudes, feelings, philosophy, beliefs, plans, goals, etc. The most successful farmer parents are those who choose the best seeds to plant and do the best job of nurturing the garden. What would you like your child's inner world to look like? The inner world is the world of thoughts and feelings. You have an inner world. It's full of sunshine. Is it full of sunshine? Smooth, clear, and expansive space, colored with hope, optimism, and energy? Or does it tend to be tangled, dark, cluttered, tied in knots of fear, sadness, or negativity? If you're not sure, then close your eyes and check into yourself right now and see how you feel. What type of garden do you have? What color's in there? What's the mood in there? What's the activity like in there? Whatever you find is probably fairly typical for you at this point in your life. Are you happy with what's there right now? Would you like to change it somehow? How did your inner world get to be the way it is today? What do you imagine your child's inner world looks like? What have you done so far to contribute to the way it is? There are, in fact, so many factors in 30 to contribute to the way our inner world grows and develops. There's the soil itself, just as some trees can only grow in certain soils. Certain thoughts can take root only in certain kind of mind. And Hashem creates the soil of the mind as part of a person's mission in this world. And some children pick up on some things, and other children pick up on others. But the words, the actions of the parents, as well as the events of the child's life, are seeds that are dropped into the soil of the youngster's mind. Some will take root and grow, some will not. Some seeds may be blown in the wind, while some are consciously planted. And this is the question we have to ask ourselves. When we show positivity and happiness and the light of a Kadosh Baruch Hu in our lives, we are planting very positive energy seeds into that child. On the other hand, we can invest a tremendous amount of negativity into the child. Work the land. In other words, parents can nurture the soil of their children's mind in the middle of 31 with constant repetition, constant modeling, positive reinforcement, occasional discipline. Parents can pull out the weeds that block healthy growth by constantly working on refining their own character, raising themselves the whole time they're raising their kids. Since Hashem will control the factors beyond the parents' control, parents will want to do their best with their small share of the project. They certainly can't guarantee that every seed will flourish and bloom into the full expression of a fine midah, correct value, or a healthy thought process, but that is not their job. Their job is to carefully plant seeds, tend the garden, and pray that Hashem creates a bountiful harvest. That is the third idea that we learned from our pasuk. First idea, Kodesh Ilum LaShem, Birkas Hananim, thank Hashem for the bounty He gives us. The second idea, Etz Chaim Hi L'Machazikim Ba, to be those who are Machazikim Ba, those who are holding on to Torah, those who are involved in learning of Torah. We need to support them, we need to have a Yisachar Zvulun relationship, and be able to develop and support and sustain places of Torah. The third thing that we learn from our pasuk is, how do we educate children? We educate children with a mindset of, it takes time for them to develop. At the beginning, they're not going to be able to be receptive. At the time that they are receptive, we're able to begin slowly until we're able to teach them fully. But recognize that this model of planting is very much the model we need to think about. And every time we give the child sunshine, we give the child light, we give the child positivity, that is what we are investing in the soil of this child. And we all know, my friends, and I don't need to say this, that there are children who grow up with as plants that never see sunshine, that never see the light of day, that never see a positive word. Recognize that everything we say is adding to that soil, adding to those seeds that we want to be planted in the child's mind. And, as we'll see soon, it's a process that takes years and years of hard work investing in it. Okay, we're now up to idea number four, and I think this is fascinating. How Sukkim, which seem to be so clear-cut, we're planting fruit trees in Israel, are teaching us so many diverse lessons. Here's the fourth idea that Chazal learned. So, Medrash and Vayikra Rabbah also. 32. Rabbi Yehuda ben Shimon said, the pasuk says, "Acharei Hashem Elokechem teilechu, you should follow a Kadosh Baruch Hu." So, is it possible for flesh and blood to ascend to the heavens and cling to the Shechina, about whom it's written, Ki Hashem Elokecha Eshachlahu, that God is an all-consuming fire? Rather, this means, now, there's one nusach of this medrash, Gemara and Sota, that says that just God, like God does acts of kindness, you should do acts of kindness. Just like he clothes the naked, you should do that, etc., etc. That's the one we classically remember. Here, this medrash says differently. How do you emulate God, right? The mitzvah to walk after God, how do you emulate God? Rather, this means that at the beginning of creation, the Holy One, blessed be He, engaged in planting. As it says, the Lord planted a garden in Eden. Similarly, when you enter the land, engage in planting first. As it says, when you shall come into the land, and you shall plant. In fact, there's a source that says, if you're in the middle of planting, and you hear Mashiach comes, finish the planting, and then run and go greet Mashiach. There is something tremendous about planting, and that planting emulates HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So as Rav Goldwicht and Asufos Marachos, if you tell me to emulate God, that He clothes those who don't have clothes, and He feeds those who are hungry, and that's what I should do, and be a Balas Chesed, grant you. But to tell me that I have to go plant trees, that's the way I model after God? God planted a tree in the Garden of Eden, and I have to go plant a tree in my backyard? It seems to be a little bit hard to understand, hard to fathom. So Rav Goldwicht, in his classic style, it's a much longer essay, I'm just highlighting, notes, in 35, that Hashem created two very powerful forces in this world, Chesed and Gvura. Chesed is giving, and it is in more of an altruistic state, and Gvura is boundary. Gvura is being able to take all that giving and being able to place it in a realm that people can receive it, and to the extent that people can receive it. But first needs to come Chesed. Olam Chesed Yibane. Avraham Avinu is the first of the Avos who's the master of Chesed. Zachar Tilach 36, Chesed Nurayach Avak Lulosaya. The first thing Klal Yisrael does is the Chesed of following after HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then comes the Midah of Gvura. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, the first thing that Hashem does after the world is created, Vayta Hashem Elokim Gan Be'edem Mikedem Vayasem Et Adam Asher Yatzar. God creates a garden in Eden and places man in there. What is the point of having a garden? So he says, the beauty of a tree is that you just go to the tree and pluck its fruit. You plant it once and it lasts for years. Unlike wheat or vegetables that you have to plant each and every time. And indeed, when Hashem first created the world, He created the world, or when the first thing Hashem did directly for man, was this chesed of giving him fruit trees, that everything he needed was available to him, ready to eat. You don't have to process it in any way. Only after the sin, then steps in gvura, then steps in hard work, then steps in the process of making grain, etc. But the original mindset is vayita, Hashem plants a garden in Eden. The planting of the tree represents the model of chesed, that Hashem wanted to give and to bestow goodness on others. And therefore he says, when one comes in terror to Israel in the arrow in 38, the involvement in planting represents the first interaction, really, personally, between God and man. Through and through with chesed. We needed this to begin our path